They came in the night. Once families fought them, neighbors coming to their aid. But now that peace has been established and the looms proven, girls pray to be retrieved. They still come at night, but now it's to avoid the masses with eager hands. It's a blessing to touch a spinster as she passes. That's what they tell us. No one knows why some girls have the gift. There are theories, of course, that it's passed down genetically, or that girls with an open mind can see the weave of life around them at all times. Even that it's a gift only given to the pure-hearted. But I know better. It's a curse. I've trained at night with my parents ever since they realized I had the calling. They taught me clumsiness, making me fumble until it looked natural when I dropped a bowl or spilled the water jug. Then we practiced with time, my parents encouraging me to take the silky strands deftly into my fingers to twist and tangle them until they were warped and useless in my hands. This was harder than dropping and spilling. My fingers wanted to weave the delicate tendrils seamlessly with matter. By my 16th birthday, when it was time for the required testing, the ruse was so effective the other girls whispered I would be sent away early. Incapable, awkward, artless. Maybe it was their taunts lodging in my back like tiny daggers that poisoned my resolve. Or perhaps it was the way the practice loom sang out, begging to be touched. But today, the last day of testing, I finally slipped, my fingers gracefully winding through the ebbing bands of time. Tonight they'll come for me.
That's Jennifer Alban reading the prologue of Cruel, C-R-E-W-E-L, her new novel. She's from Lenexa, and this is her first book. Jennifer, congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to Up to Date. Glad you're here. That's quite an opening page or two. What is this story about?
Well, it's about a world where girls known as spinsters weave the fabric of reality, and it centers around a 16-year-old girl who has this particular ability but doesn't want it.
And she's the narrator of
yes.
the book. Who is this book for? Who will it appeal to?
Well, my publisher says ages 12 and up, although I got a message from a precocious 10-year-old the other day who said she didn't understand why some people couldn't follow the loops. But it actually – a lot of adults read it. It has a lot of crossover to surprisingly a number of adult males have really responded to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to invite our listeners. Maybe the answer to my question is you. If you've read this book and you would like to talk about it on the air with the author, Jennifer Alban, call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at updatedate@kcur.org. Jennifer, is it kind of a trip to be now on the radio talking about a book when – not that many months ago, there was no book, and there was also not much income, and a pretty challenging life.
Well, actually, Cruel just had its real birthday because I wrote it during National Novel Writing Month in 2010.
Okay.
So I started it on November 1st in 2010. So it's been a 2-year kind of wild ride. But during the time that I was writing the book initially, the first 30 days that I wrote the first draft and then the 6 months following, I didn't have a home computer. We were living on my husband's one salary job, and I literally had to take a USB drive down to my local branch of the library, the Central Resource Library in Overland Park.
Yeah, I heard
and,
you spilled water on your laptop.
I did. PSA, if you spill a giant thing of water on your laptop, don't watch it sizzle. Take out the battery. I didn't know that. So, alas, I murdered my computer. And I had to sit and do it at the library computer with 70-minute increments and a very daunting countdown clock ticking that off for me. So...
wow. And so I actually read an article where you actually said that might have helped, right?
I think it did, actually. And I keep joking that apparently to meet my deadlines, I should go back to the library and have the countdown clock. But
if you don't mind my saying this, you're only 30 years old. Is that right?
I will be 31 soon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, almost 31.
Yes.
You've had a pretty eventful life in some ways. You're married, 2 kids, and you filed for bankruptcy, right?
Yes, I did. Actually, we filed for bankruptcy about 2 months after I started writing the book. That February, my husband had gotten laid off about the same time that the economy really crashed. And we had been living in Columbia at the time. And we moved back to Kansas City thinking there's going to be all these jobs. And then everyone started getting laid off and there were no jobs. And so there was a period of time where our credit card bills just stacked up because you don't pay those when you have to pay rent and you're living on unemployment. So we did file for bankruptcy and we were going through that process. And I have a vivid memory of sitting in the bankruptcy court not knowing what to expect. And there were all of these people there and you're listening to their stories. And all I could think was I should have brought my book to edit while I was sitting here waiting for my turn, because it was really depressing. But we actually cleared bankruptcy. I think the same day that I accepted my book deal, I went to the mailbox and there was a "you're through with bankruptcy" letter. And I thought, wow, what timing.
Yeah, indeed. And the path to success, the path to financial stability for most people does not involve successfully publishing their first novel.
No, they tell you will make no money writing whatsoever. And so I didn't do it for a long time because it was impractical. And then one day I realized that, well, I wasn't making any money anyway, and no one was, so I might as well write a book. So that's what I did.
And I guess I'm curious, what's the path from there to this? I mean, how does one write a book and then suddenly have, agents calling you?
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing was very surreal because I never expected it to get the kind of attention it did as quickly as it did. It took me about a week to land an agent, which is unheard of. It usually takes 6 months to a year.
If you get one at all.
If you get one at all. With your first book, a lot of people have to write a second or a third book. And I think it was the right book at the right time, but also I don't know. It's hard to speak to that particular experience.
Do you feel like it was were you lucky?
I dislike the term luck. I think that there would be those people who would say, yes, I was in the right place at the right time. But I was in the right place at the right time because I put myself there. I took every single opportunity I had. And there's a lot of opportunity for writers online who want to be publishing and who want feedback. If you're willing to put yourself out there, and someone actually compared getting feedback on your writing like standing on stage in a bikini and saying, tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it's like. So it's very hard for some people, I think, to put themselves out there. But it's those opportunities that most people equate with luck.
Yeah. So I'm talking with Jennifer Albin. She is author of Cruel, which is on sale now. And Jennifer, novelists, I know, don't really like to be asked questions like, what is your book really about? it's a complicated question. But there's obviously a lot going on in this book. You've got a young adult identity issue. You've got particular issues about women, young women in particular, and power in society. What do you see as sort of the critical threads that make this book have some meaning?
I was thinking about that earlier today because someone had written a piece about gender identity and they'd used Cruel to discuss the issue. And it was in response to someone who slammed the book because they felt like I was denigrating women and whatnot. And I was thinking about it in terms of being a recovering academic, as I like to say, because actually I tend to have the feeling of I'm the writer and so I'm divorced from the reading experience, no matter how much I want to respond to, you're totally wrong about what you think about this book, because this is what I meant. But for me, I wanted to write a story about a strong female who wasn't necessarily going around killing people or kicking butt, so to speak, but who was intellectual and who had differing ideas from what society as a whole was telling her. So she's put in a very Mad Men-esque world, but has a strong sense that she is equal to all of the people around her and is not their inferior just because she's a girl.
Yeah. When you said this was the right book at the right time, in what sense is that true?
Well, it's funny because I think a lot of the gender politics that we're dealing with now came after the book deal. And that was really interesting because I kept thinking this didn't seem so prescient at the time that I was writing it. But it's a kind of genre bending book, which is actually why it was the right book at the right time, because on the surface, it's about a society with absolute control. I mean, every aspect of life is contained within this tapestry and they can control it. So in that way, it's dystopian, like the Hunger Games. Right. But it's actually very much science fiction with a hint of with a hint of fantasy that is then explained through science throughout the rest of the trilogy.
And teenagers, so a hint of Twilight and a hint of this.
Right,
and that.
There's some boys and some kissing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, not a whole lot, but yes, it's there.
Are those the kind of books you read?
I do read a lot of young adult, and I actually credit young adult and just children's books in general with bringing me back to the love of reading I had when I was a kid, because I went to grad school and was studying English literature. And I'm not going to say I didn't love the books that I read. It was a different kind of love. But the desire to devour a book and be completely sucked into a world happened when I started encountering things like Harry Potter in college. So I started reading those, which I think is why I kind of gravitated towards writing for younger readers. And there's less rules when you're writing for younger readers.
You mentioned that you read something. Someone had slammed your book. Someone else used your book in a favorable way. Is it really strange to have sort of released the book out into the world and then having other people talking about it like it has nothing to do with you?
It is, especially since we have the advent of Twitter, which I'm very... I'm on Twitter all the time, and people feel the need to always include you in links to their reviews. And sometimes you think, oh, well, this will be a good review because they have tweeted it to me. And that is not always the case. but I've learned that in the last 2 weeks, there was an immediate fear of having it out there that I could never change anything and anyone could buy it and anyone could have access to it. So that is unusual and it's strange, and especially because since it is known to be the first of three, a lot of people feel the need to also pass along what they think should happen in subsequent books. And so you feel like, oh, am I going to upset the reader by doing this? And you think, well, it doesn't matter. It's not about what they think, at least initially. So.
Right. Yeah. I would have to think you've developed a thicker skin as a result of all this. Is that the case?
I would say so. But I think also going back to the bankruptcy, when you have people banging on your door to serve you papers or take away your car, you develop a pretty thick skin. And so I kind of already had gotten to that point. I think it actually really helped me when I was going through the process of querying and then editing and now getting reviews. That's not to say there isn't an initial that really stings reaction when a bad one comes through.
I wonder if, you know, I brought up the bankruptcy, but you've mentioned it a couple times since. How much of your story is intertwined with the writing and telling of the story in the novel?
Not a whole lot, actually. Okay. I'd say that my husband says that if there's one characteristic that defines my writing, it's a sense of defiance. And you see that mostly through the main character. And I guess I have a kind of defiant personality. And that's about all you would see that is related to my life. Unfortunately, I don't have a loom and I can't control you.
Oh, well, I'll sleep a little easier.
Yeah, be happy about that.
The book ends rather abruptly with end of book one. It's in all capital letters at the bottom of the page. And you're under contract for two more. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Trilogy.
It's a trilogy.
Have you written them yet?
The second one is in edits right now with my editor, which have been slightly delayed thanks to Hurricane Sandy. Mm-hmm. But the third one is not yet written. It's mostly existing in the nebulous parts of my mind.
And are you starting to get people inquiring of you, like what happens, what's going to happen with these characters?
Oh, yeah. And I get a lot of emails saying, can you publish the next one faster? And I think, well, it's not done yet. And you probably wouldn't like it at this stage. So you'll
have to. Do people try to tell you what they want to have happen?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, there are multiple love interests in the book. And while romance is one of the more minor subplots, I get a lot of responses telling me who she should wind up with or why this guy is the right guy. People have a lot of say in that. And I had a bookseller ask me for a prequel about a totally different minor character that she just wants a whole book about. And I thought, well, that probably won't happen either. Yeah. A whole book, but we'll see.
The way books are promoted these days is interesting. And so your book, for example, has a trailer, a video trailer, which is online. I was sort of intrigued, and that's not totally unusual, but I was sort of intrigued that there's music in this trailer and that it was written by a 14-year-old girl.
You are speaking about my UK trailer, because I have two. I have a US and a UK trailer. I have publishing deals all over the world right now. And my UK publishers had this great idea to do a contest where they asked teenagers between 13 and 18 in the UK to write a song for the trailer. And they released an excerpt of the book, and then kids wrote songs and sent them in. And it was amazing. We had about 25 songs to choose from that were all original songs written to the book.
By teenagers.
Yeah. So, and the winning entry was by a 14-year-old, which is, when you hear the song, it makes you feel like, wow, I didn't do anything until I was 30. And this 14-year-old now just got interviewed by The Guardian about it. So, you know, hey.
If you had to give one bit of advice to a young writer who hasn't yet published a book, knowing your story is a little bit exceptional, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, you just keep writing. Everyone wants to talk about it being my first novel, but frankly, I tried to write a lot of novels before that. You keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. Put your butt in chair every day and write some more.
It's Jennifer Albin. Her new novel is called Cruel. You can find more information about Jennifer and archives of our previous broadcasts, even a link to her webpage and information about her book. That's all at kcur.org. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Tomorrow on the program, a look at some old and new cocktails to celebrate your election night victories or drown your sorrowing losses. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. In for Steve Kraske, I'm Brian Ellison, and you are up to date.